Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Wednesday, September the 15th. It was a great week one of football. Just enjoyed sitting there and watching, you know, 9-10 straight hours of football. It's a beautiful thing to have back in our lives. A fine week of gambling. Those of you who follow the Twitter have kind of seen the results already, how we did. I will say not bad at all for week one, aka the calibration week. So you can know what you think a team's going to do, but until you see it, regular season on the field, you can't really get a feel of what you actually think about. You know, everything's projection up until now. Now I can look, you know, oh, Thursday night we'll get there, but, you know, we got Washington versus New York, the Giants. Well, I've seen those teams compete. I know what that looks like in 2021 now, which, you know, was just speculative based on before. So I anticipate and project better weeks to come in the near future for our betting picks.
Yeah, I mean, I took home some nice cash between Jock Market and just bets over from Thursday to Monday. Like where I'm sitting after week one, betting wise.
We are both up after the full slate of games, so right. That feels good. Sunday through Monday, we went, not coming to the Thursday game because we went, did that on last week's pod, obviously. But yeah, we were both Sunday through Monday, we were both pretty even, and neither of us up or down more than a unit. So right. Very down the middle. But then both made some money on both Thursday and Monday night, which kind of pushed us into the green.
Yeah. Granted, our locks of the week. Don't need to.
We'll get there.
We don't need to touch on.
Let's just go game by game here. Cardinals.
Start with winner of the week.
Let's do our winners of the week. We'll start by talking about those games. First of all, honorable mention, the winner of the week. He deserves it 100%. He's just not going to be on here as Jameis. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that game plenty, but I can't not mention him for the week that he turned in. But as much as he does deserve it, my winner of the week goes to a different young quarterback in, you know, a newer situation. That he gets it because of the criticism that he's been getting from pretty much everybody. I mean, yes. I will say it's Jalen Hurts. I made a bet. I said, hey, I'm taking Jalen Hurts under 700 yards because every move that that team has made, the Eagles, you know, bringing in Gardner Minshew, has said that they don't believe in him and that his job is it's open. Like, he has not secured it for even this season. Previously, I did say, and I believe even on that episode, it's the right move for the. It was the right move, and it is the right move for them to see what they have with Jalen Hurts, because it's not nothing. It's clearly not nothing after seeing that week one performance. Yes, it's maybe the worst defense in the NFL of Matt Falcon's squad, but not everyone can, you know, put up those numbers that he did against any NFL caliber defense. And it's for that reason that he's getting that props from me. They have to just give him the season, I think. Perhaps that's a week one overreaction, but I feel like that maybe should have been the sentiment before even this week. Like, he clearly has some talent. If there's even a 5-10% chance that this is a guy that you can win with going forward, you have to find out. Because, I mean, talk about the formula for winning Super Bowls being having a rookie quarterback or a guy on a rookie deal so that you can, you know, spend that money in other places. I mean, he is on the ultimate rookie deal. Like, he's not even a first-round guy. Like, he is very cheap for the next couple of years. So that would have to be a very quick rebuild for the Eagles. But, yeah, my win of the week, great week against the Falcons. See if you can keep it up.
It's So my winner of the week, I'm not going to say that they're not deserving of it, but it is a very biased pick. And if they show up every week like they did week one, mm-hmm. they will always be my winner of the week. And that is Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boy Isaiah Simmons leading the team, 7 tackles, 1 pick. But the story of probably the whole weekend was Chandler Jones' performance.
My goodness.
I mean, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Week one, you just don't see stuff like that. And I really thought about giving it to Chandler Jones. Mm-hmm. I really did. But, I mean, you go back and, like, watch, even if you just watch highlights from that game, it was the whole defense getting in.
Right. They had 3 turnovers.
The whole defense was stuffing Henry at the line. Mm-hmm. The whole defense was, you know, not allowing Tannehill to fit the ball. Mm-hmm. Anywhere. I mean, just a great defensive showing. I love that for my season-long bets, which I have many of on the Cardinals. Because right. I'm high on the Titans. But I'm going to be honest, I thought they looked really bad.
That's the other thing. They looked so bad. And I've seen so many people be like, this Titans team is not what we thought it was going to be. Like, that division's bad, but like, there might be bad right along with it. I've been kind of looking maybe to jump on some Titan season-long bets just because, one, I think they can get right, and I think I've seen mostly this Titans team is bad, not this Cardinal team is good.
Right. I think
this Cardinals team looks really good. Granted, like, the Titans have a lot of things they need to get right. That Cardinals, you know, front seven is very good. But there are other teams in the AFC, several of them, who can match that. And if those teams are going to do the same thing to Ryan Tannehill that the Cardinals did, well, that's going to be trouble for the Titans.
Right. And I think it is worth mentioning, I think a big reason why we didn't see any defensive showings like this from the Cardinals last year is because they had 20 players miss a combined 100 games on just the defensive side of. Mm-hmm. That is so many injuries to deal with. And, you know, I'm really just hoping the Cardinals can stay healthy. I mean,
right.
An exciting team to watch.
They're tying up at 25 points. That's all we really got to say about it. It's a massive win.
Right.
They blew them out in a week that we didn't really see a lot of blowouts in.
Right.
Moving along, we go to a game that we were all over. Texans over the Jaguars, 37-21. We both bet +145 for that Texans money line. And it was, right. Yeah, it's exactly kind of how we previewed it. It's the Texans aren't good. Don't get fooled, but they're a professional football team. And they are going up against at home, a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach who doesn't know how to run the ball. So right. Questionable decisions from Urban there. Kind of throughout the game, and they just get shown up by the Texans.
And I just think I'm so happy for Tyrod. The disrespect shown to that this Texans team mm-hmm. between betting lines, even just like, you know, scrolling through Twitter before the game, mm-hmm. just like saying, like, well, of course the Jags are winning. Tyrod's playing cute. Like, when has Tyrod ever been here? Terrible quarterback.
Right. I was talking to some other people because he's in my 2 QB league. He's my QB2. I always believed in him. Never tried to improve that situation.
Not
one time. And he finishes QB10 for fantasy. And people are like, oh, is he going to really like keep that up? Like, you know, you're going to have a couple like, he might throw a couple touchdowns, might throw a couple picks, like it's the Texans. I'm like, stop right there. Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw interceptions.
Right.
He's the safest 2 touchdowns, 200-yard guy you can get. And there was a question mark whether that could keep up with the roster as it currently is constructed. But I mean, he put up 37 points. Like, clearly not a very good Jags defense, but that's – more points than other teams were able to put up against similar defenses.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, again, it's the Texans aren't good, but they're still a professional football team. Like, they're going to be, they're not going to lose zero games. I don't think they're not going to win zero games. I don't think they're going to just finish with the one game. I don't think they're going to be the Jaguars of last year, you know, winning the first one and losing the rest of them. They're going to finish with four or five wins, which I don't think I really thought at the start of the season. I believe their over-under was 4.5, and I believe I was on the underside of that, which definitely still could happen. Let's not overreact to week one, but yeah, they looked good.
Yeah. So, yeah, next we have the Chargers and the football team, which was pretty much a pick 'em.
Mm.
I stayed away from it. That's exactly how I felt. I felt it was a pick 'em, and I figured I would pick the wrong side of it. So
right. I'm a Chargers believer, so I had Chargers minus 115. A good win from them. This isn't college football. If you win, you win.
Right.
I don't need you to win by 21 to be convinced that you're a good team. This Washington football team is a good defense, and the Chargers are another team with a brand new coaching staff and, you know, a second year quarterback. Like, if you can go in, you can go on the road and get a win against, which is pretty unanimously a top five defense in this league. Doesn't matter how many points it was by, a win's a win right there. Yeah, a big statement win for the Chargers, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Herbert overall for that defense he was playing, he looked pretty good. Yeah. I mean, he looked at his pickup right where he left off from year one.
Austin Eckler was clearly affected, but the pass game seemed to be still firing on all cylinders.
Right.
We go to our overtime thriller in Cincinnati. Despite having Vikings minus 3, I was rooting right along with the nation for the week one tie. It just had tie energy all over it.
It did. And we almost got there. What, 2 seconds left?
It was.
Do it to us.
That was a roller coaster of a game at the end there. A game that no one really cared about until the fourth quarter. Doubt it was on a whole lot of TV screens outside of Minneapolis and Cincinnati, but everyone tuning in at the end there to see, you know, the Bengals pull it off.
Yeah. We had the Jets and Panthers, and I said, I believe it was our last pod we did, how much I love Sam Darnold. I just want to see something first before I can put money on him. And I'm not going to lie, I liked what I saw. Week one, kind of not ugly, but just first half from him, but looked better in the second half.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, not surprised. They were playing the Jets, rookie quarterback. It's just, I wasn't going to take a money line at -245.
Mm-hmm.
And 5.5 felt about right to me.
Yeah, I hit the under 44.5 here. I love this for my Jets win total under. Like, that line's already too high at 5.5.
Right.
And this is one of the games that they had the possibility of winning. And if they're just going to lose the, you know, the ones that have a chance at like this, they're just not going to get to that number.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily think Wilson looked bad.
Yeah.
He looked young, I think, is kind of the vibe I got. Like, I don't necessarily think he's going to be a bad NFL quarterback. I just don't think he's going to be anything special.
No, I don't really think so either. Like, does he, in 3 years, are we feeling better about him than we felt about Sam Darnold at the end of last year?
No.
That would be, I think, like we said, we do like Darnold, but like, I almost feel like it was so low. It went so bad for Sam Darnold. Like, it almost has to be just like, I don't really believe in Zach Wilson, but like, a tick above, maybe he gets him to like 5 or 6 wins. Like, it doesn't take much. The floor is pretty low to get to that mark.
That's fair.
devastating for Jets fans if it's just rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Three years to a quarterback and just not getting the guy.
But I mean, that's just the organization.
Right. And then touch on this a little bit with Hurts. The Eagles routing the Falcons. Falcons look so bad here.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad I only put $10 on the Falcons to win every road game. That plus $100,000. My lock of the week was them -3. I didn't expect Matt Ryan to just play goose egg. You know, like, the Eagles' defense is not good. Like, it's not by any means. Like, a top 15 defense.
Should not be, but yeah, you can always get surprised. But
I mean, because yeah, my lock of the week, Falcons -3 missed. My Russell Gage over yards missed. And I mean, he only got targeted twice, and he's the number two. He's the WR2 in that squad.
Right.
Granted, Kyle Pitts is there. He was involved a lot fine. More than I thought. He
right.
I think he had like 8-9 targets. When it was all said and done, but
right.
Just a terrible showing from the Falcons.
I'd bet Matt Ryan over 2.5 passing TDs, which I loved. I thought they were going to put up numbers on this Eagles team, and they did not. that was bad. Now to the game that was on my screen. We got Steelers upsetting the Bills in Buffalo, 23-16. Let's be honest here. The Bills had more yards than the Steelers. They had more first downs than the Steelers. They had more third down conversions than the Steelers. But they had a punt blocked.
Right.
And the Steelers, and they were horrendous in the red zone.
So this game we kind of alluded to on the last podcast was going to kind of be the team to make the big mistake was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the big mistake was going to be the very first.
The kick return. Yeah. I thought so too.
I thought that was going to be the mistake.
But I was.
That was going to be the Bills winning, you know, 10-7.
But talk about a great defense. Your special teams gives up. I mean, where did they get down to? Like the 30?
Right off. 25, 30.
Right off the, into your territory. Right off the kickoff to the game. And you go out there and you stuff them. Hold them to a field goal. Like, that's so hard to do, especially when the offense is still in their scripted play phase of the game. Like, they could have easily just gone out there on three plays that they've been drilling all week in practice and just put it in the end zone. Now, the Steelers, that defense looked so good. The offense, got to hope it improves a little bit better. Like, I'm hopeful for the Steelers. Obviously, there's beating the Bills week one is a huge first step towards having a season better than people expect for this team. But the offensive line clearly needs some help. This is a good Bills defense. It's a very good Bills defense with improved pass rush from last year. Big Ben was sacked twice, but that is pretty much par for the league this week. I think there's like 11 or 12 teams that had one sack. Maybe like one team with zero. Maybe the Packers were a team with zero. Kept Rodgers upright. Not a good it did him. But the offensive line, I think we talked about this before. They've already somehow already anointed these experts who know everything, the ins and outs and the chemistry of the offensive line, have anointed the Steelers' O-line before even the preseason, the worst in football. I said, they got new guys, they're young, like, they just have to be average, I think.
Right.
Najee Harris, you know, he got a good amount of carries, not a whole lot of yards. The offense couldn't really move the ball very well as a whole until the second half, where things really started to open up. Najee started, you know, get 8 or 9 yard carry in there, and very hopeful for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Steelers, you're happy with that win because I don't think any other team in the AFC North is beating the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, the Browns are the only ones that I could see based off of week one play.
Right. You just have that, you know, similar opponent advantage for a tiebreaker.
Right.
Down the road, hopefully. I mean, but yeah, Browns and Ravens losing. And not to go too much Steelers, but this is the thing about Lamar and Baker. They gotta get paid.
Right.
Like this is your kind of last legs to have them on that cheap deal. And the Steelers just paying TJ Watt just before this week one. Well, that's the luck. Like, Big Ben's making a ton of money. So if Big Ben is out after this year, you get all that money back. 60% of it goes to TJ Watt. And then what happens next year? You re-sign Minka Fitzpatrick with the other portion of Big Ben's money. And then you draft a rookie quarterback. And then that's your formula to win a Super Bowl. You preserve your elite defense. You get an extra couple of years on what is a lot of very young skill position guys. You know, what are TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick going to look like in 2 years? You have to think they mature and, you know, at least get more comfortable in the positions they're in, leading that defense. The offensive line might not be good this year, but it's a very young group that, you know, we talk about, it's all about cohesiveness within an offensive line unit. All of a sudden they're together 2-3 years. You got a rookie quarterback with a year or two, you know, in the system. That's all you can really hope for as a team.
Right. And I think as long as the Steelers kind of preserve that defense, there's never going to be a rebuild.
Right. Especially with the rest of the conference outside of the Bengals, but the other contenders in that conference going the other way. Like, once you sign Lamar and you sign Baker, which both of those teams are going to have to do, the big deals, all of a sudden, these players that you want to keep come up. Jarvis Landry comes up. You know, he's not what he was. Odell comes up, you know. Like, can't do it, you know. All of a sudden, you don't have the weapons for Baker you used to. Like, is he going to look as good anymore once, you know, he doesn't have those threats out there? You never know. So, I'm encouraged for this year, very encouraged for the next 3 to 4 years for the Steelers.
And that's kind of how I feel about the Packers, too. If Rodgers is gone after this year.
Yeah.
Outside of the fumble, I like the Red Sox. I guess we can touch on that.
Let's jump there. We'll segue into that. 38-3. Everyone knows it. It's ugly. Everyone saw the stat. Rodgers would have a better QBR if he just would have went up there and threw each ball in the dirt, which just makes everyone realize they understand quarterback rating even less than I thought they did. It wasn't good. It was bad. Did you see him on the Pat McAfee show?
Yeah.
He didn't really seem to care all too much.
No.
And maybe that's what you need. You just need to have that calm, that R-E-L-A-X demeanor, but
I think when you've been in the league that long, I think you do need to react like that and kind of say, hey, like, that's the bad one. We got it out of the way. We won. Like, whatever. We come back.
You
got
to show a little, like, maybe I missed it or misremembering, but it was a lot of we. It wasn't like, hey, I was the worst quarterback in the NFL this week. Wasn't a whole lot of, hey, this one's on me. After we heard a whole lot of I's and me's out of him this offseason.
And that's just how it was been, though.
Right.
Like, he's not going to care about the loss or the performance because he just assumes to have one of those a year.
Right. It's not a vacation destination. People come to Green Bay to play with me. The team isn't giving me any help. I'm the star here. We just had a bad week at Jacksonville this week. We didn't play that well. The defense wasn't really stopping Jameis.
Hey, but being the hopeful Packer fan I am, you know, which team lost to lost to the Saints 38-3 last year?
I'm aware of that, but.
But, no, I mean, just looking at it, I expect not quite that bad, but I do expect that from the defense. Zadarius Smith was out. And other than that, we just don't really have the money to pay. You know, we can't afford a TJ Watt. We can't, you know, it's.
Or Jair Alexander once he's needs to be paid.
To be fair, I don't think the defense gives up 38 points if the offense stays on the field for more than a minute and each possession. I can't imagine how tired those defensive guys were.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, they sit down for a minute and, oh, three and out again, going back to the field, or, hey, Rodgers threw a pick. Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Try not to be discouraged week one, because I still think we easily have the best shot at winning the North.
Well, that's here the thing. Division went 0-4.
Right.
Speaking of that, my lock of the week, under 45 in the 49ers Lions. I believe I said I don't think the Lions are capable of scoring 10 points, which is why I was so confident in that, because the 49ers could score 35 and it still would go under. And it was the highest scoring game of the week by a lot. 74 points were scored in this game. 16 within the last 2 minutes. Just absolutely brutal. This game was wild from start to finish. Goff looked really good in the second half. It was a lot of check down stuff, but I mean, the Lions scored 33 points against, again, what people would pretty unanimously say is a top five defense in the NFL.
That's why I'm loving that game for my Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think it's very good, and I'm loving my 49ers last in the division met as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They didn't look good.
Talk about Jimmy G. Like, not a great game from him. Like, it was fine. Like, they put up a lot of points, but, like, overall, you know, it's a running team. Mostert tears his ACL. He's done. Sermon was a healthy scratch because he missed curfew or something with Ayuk. But they're still, it doesn't matter who's out there. They're going to be a running team. I talked about this with Baltimore. I just want who's going to get the most carries on the Ravens on my fantasy team. I feel the exact same way, maybe even stronger about the 49ers. Like, whoever is that lead back in a Kyle Shanahan offense, I want them, because they're going to produce. So that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. Trey Sermon, obviously, if he can make it to the games and practice on time, he's in a position to have quite the year. Could you look for me what his offensive rookie of the year odds are at? Because that might be an interesting bet. But yeah, so we both go 0-1 in our locks, which isn't great. But, you know, we're calibrating, as we said. I think if it wasn't my team, I think it's easy to look at after, but I was just like, it was like 3-0 Bills at the end of the first quarter. Like, how didn't I make this under my lock? Like, this seems so so easy. But I did not, so. Yeah, but like you said, you know, 0-4 in the North.
Plus 2,650.
I can definitely sprinkle that. He's in a position. He can rush for 1,200 yards.
Right.
But let's say, hypothetically, because obviously it's a – especially this year, it's a quarterback's to lose. Say we get a rookie quarterback, whoever it is, to do 4,000 yards – and 27 touchdowns, whoever it is, and like 10 picks. What does a running back, whether it be, you know, Najee Harris or Trey Sermon, what does a running back have to do to surpass that?
I honestly think it's 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I was thinking double-digit touchdowns probably. Yeah. Or maybe if it's like 900 yards and like 500 or 600 receiving yards, well, like a dual threat type thing.
I would say 1,500 all-purpose rushing and receiving.
That's a lot from a rookie.
And that is, but I think that's what a running back would have right to do.
It's the right price for Sermon, though. I think I'll probably invest there.
Right.
It's just such long odds still. Moving on, we go Seahawks Colts. 28-16 for the Seahawks. In Indianapolis, the Colts just bad.
Yeah.
We both kind of said we don't believe in them, and it seems for good reason. They're just uninspired football, it looks like.
Yeah. I think I hit the Seahawks -3 there.
I went Jonathan Taylor rush yards, and he just wasn't producing. He got the opportunities, but he just something like 3 yards per carry or something, which behind that Colts line, you have to expect a bit more. But we kind of said it. These aren't the Seahawks of old. They kind of have a defense again.
Right.
They looked impressive against the Colts. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. And already a hotly contested division if the Seahawks are legit again. Also, of course, Russell Wilson looks great. But you have to, fell off last year in the second half of the season. So if he can figure that out and the defense is kind of back, watch out for the Seahawks. And then we got what I claim to be a gut pick, where I wasn't going to bet it. And then I added the Chiefs -6.5 late because, Andy Reid with time to prepare and Mahomes and the Chiefs in general in September. And that was correct, but not for -6.5. So I lose there, but I don't know. The Browns are probably have too high of expectations to be too encouraged by how this game went, but they had them beat for 90% of this game.
Right. And yeah, I didn't touch this game for a reason. I mean, I didn't think the Browns were going to get just rolled over. I didn't think they'd win it either. A touchdown felt about right to me, which is why I didn't want to touch it. -275 money line for the Chiefs. Just no money to be made there.
No. And then we go to a bet I was very sure about, which was the Giants over the Broncos. I had the money line +140. The Broncos. I mean, I was saying, I don't know about Danny Dimes, but he's got weapons this year. And if he's in the best position to excel now than he has been, and boy, did he not. I don't want to overact week one stuff too much, but the Giants stink.
Yeah.
We're thinking about a little sleeper Giants picks. The guys were a little too low on them. I give them as the longest shot to win the Super Bowl just because of their odds. And on our third or fourth episode, but no, they stink. They might finish last in this division.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
They just look bad.
With how the Eagles looked, the football team, and the Cowboys.
I mean, we got some weird division results after this week. I mean, it was Ravens, Browns, and the Steelers, Bengals are in first. The Eagles are undisputed in first. Same with the Texans. 0-4 in the NFC North. So no one's winning there. Just kind of some weird starts for some of these divisions, which right. You can laugh at it now, but it's a significant. We had an extra game, but this is, takes a couple weeks to, get right. You got to hope for a couple losses now. The Cowboys have to catch the Eagles, which we didn't think was going to be a situation that really was going to have to happen.
All
right. Then we're kind of getting to our midday games. Again, to a gut pick. This is the number one worrying thing about me. My gut has been off. On, our day of recording, I said I'm adding that Chiefs pick and I'm taking off my Dolphins money line. Just something didn't feel right to me. And I guess I wasn't totally off in either situation. The Dolphins do end up edging out the Patriots in Foxborough 17-16, but could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Neither quarterback looked entirely impressive. Kind of just a sloppy game, but I did have what should have really been my lock of the week. Damien Harris over 14.5 carries.
There was never a doubt.
It was +100 too. Wasn't really a juice bag line. I'll take the 100, but I wish I would have cemented a 1-0 Eagles-esque lead in our lock competition. I don't think a whole lot to talk about.
I think Mac Jones showed promise, but
you're not discouraged as a Patriot fan. You don't want to be 0-1, but
right?
And I see so much from the Patriots, like the Patriots fan. I think I just have too many of them on the timeline. And it's just last year it was like Cam's gonna win the MVP, and then this year it's like Cam stinks. Thank goodness he's gone. Like Mac Jones is the man. Like they're gonna easily win the North. So cocky, and then after this game, they're like, he still looked good. This game doesn't matter. Like they're gonna like it's like, how far are we gonna kick the can down the road here?
I just realized I did seal that Dolphin.
Yeah, you kept it on there. We moved to our Sunday night game where, as expected, the Rams just kicked the crap out of the Bears. Stafford looked good. That offense was clicking. The Bears didn't. We did get to see a little Fields, which was exciting. Hard to really project or even there's not too much to analyze. He just didn't have that many, you know, opportunities in there, like just getting thrown in there like that. Right. Like it's very sink or swim. You can never hold it for or against him too much.
Well, we didn't get to see how he did it.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. It'll be interesting to see what they do next week.
I feel like it'll be a lot of the same.
I feel like once you break that seal, you almost just have to start them.
Unless this was their plan all along.
The Bears are incompetent. That front office is, it's like, you can't say that their whole plan was always to draft Justin Fields. Because if that was always the plan, then they had no business ever signing Dalton in the first place.
Right.
Like if you needed a buffer guy for a game or two, you still had Fultz. So what happens in the draft is he falls into your lap, and then it's like just play him. Like there's a whole lot of argument that goes on. Like, ooh, when do you think he starts? When should he start? You know, these guys had the, you know, this guy got Rodgers got to sit a year. Mahomes got to sit a year. Herbert was successful right away. Like, yeah, Mahomes did sit the year, but did he need to? Like, he was so electric right away. You think he could have just stepped in and done it, but he speaks very highly of that time behind Alex Smith. So it's like, which way is it? And I've kind of fallen into the camp recently. It doesn't matter. You have it or you don't.
I think it matters.
If you're going to be outside of the extreme situations, which are like you get drafted by the Jets. If you have it and you're going to be a good NFL quarterback, you're going to show it in that first year if you're given the opportunity to.
I think he'll show flashes, but I don't think if Mahomes plays a year earlier.
You don't think he is what he is right now?
Right. I think he is now down the line, but I don't think he replicates what he did in his first year. If he plays it.
But like is that experience in what situation is that experience bad?
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like I think it's better to sit behind, especially a guy like Alex Smith.
I just think Andy Dalton's not really Alex Smith. Like that team was gonna That team was gonna make the playoffs with Alex Smith.
There are few quarterbacks you can sit behind and make it work. I'll give you that.
Right.
I think sitting behind Andy Dalton, you learn nothing.
Especially with Andy Dalton this first year with the Bears.
Right.
Like if you're Mahomes and you're the franchise guy and, you know, Smith had been there forever and with – okay, maybe it makes sense for your elite franchises. Like if, you know, you get to sit behind Favre. If Rodgers gets sit behind Favre forever, and you can look, be like, "Hey, I've played for this coach for a while, and you're gonna get to play for this coach for multiple years." Like a franchise with stability like that, okay, I can give you that where that makes sense. Or like if a situation's coming up, I don't think the money works out, but like Steelers draft a guy, hey, you can sit behind Big Ben, who's played you know, 15 years with Mike Tomlin, and you're going to play 15 years with Mike Tomlin. Like, he no one knows the system and how this works better. But, like, you come in and you're like, well, we just signed Andy Dalton. You can sit behind him, who's been playing for Nagy for as long as you are, and Nagy's going to get, like, fired after this year. So you'll just have a new system next year anyway. What's the point of that?
Right. Yeah, I don't think there is a point, but I do think there are certain quarterbacks and certain systems where it is beneficial to sit behind a guy for a year or two.
I just really don't. If there's a guy who's like, this guy's going to be a star, I don't think, like, getting him out there week one is going to be like, yeah, if this guy just could have sat for 4 weeks before getting thrown out there, he would have been good.
Like, I guess, what's your opinion on Jordan Love? That's a very realistic situation. Do you think he is better for sitting behind Rodgers for 2 years?
We have to see him, I guess. But, like, if he is truly, like,
but if you were the coach of the Packers and, like, let's say there was all this Rodgers drama going on and Rodgers truly wanted out and said there's no way I can stay and you had to play Jordan Love, do you think that situation turns out better than Jordan Love sitting behind Rodgers for 2 years?
You're saying this year?
No, I'm saying, like, let's say Love's rookie year. Like, Rodgers wanted out and Love's got to be thrown in right away. Where do you think Love is now?
I think he's, if he is the guy, like, I don't know, like, Utah State, massive question marks around Jordan Love. But if he's the guy, I think he succeeds either way.
See, I just don't see that.
I mean, if you're either going to adapt to that,
he has a bad enough first couple of years that he just might not be in the league. He might be backing up.
There's a lot of talent on that Packer team. Like, if you have 2 years with, you know, Devontae, who's a top five, top three wide receiver in the league, and Aaron Jones, and a solid defense and a solid offensive line, and if you have a bad couple of years, well, then maybe you're just not going to be a good quarterback.
I think he has a bad couple of years.
Who's the last guy we've seen who, like, was in a really good situation, had, like, two bad years, and all of a sudden just figured it out? If you're truly, like, the transcendent type quarterback, the franchise type, like three contracts with that team, like, you're signing after your rookie deal and then they're re-signing again after that, I think you're
right. But only a handful of quarterbacks can do that.
But that's what every team's trying to draft. Like, what are you doing in Chicago if you're like, I don't think Justin Fields is that guy. I think he's like a 5 or 6 year type guy for us. You have to treat him like he's your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but I think you have a higher chance of getting that franchise quarterback if they can have a couple of years just watching the system.
I agree, it's beneficiary for maybe four teams. Like, that can guarantee that type of stability. Like, there's not that many teams that through a couple bad years can guarantee that the same system's still going to be there. Like, if it's like a learning a system thing, but, like, just as you can see it be bad for, like, a Sam Darnold and the Jets when he has a new quarterback, a new staff pretty much every year, like, is it really beneficial if the same thing's happening when you're not playing? Like, what are you really getting used to there?
Right, but I mean, that's a really bad example.
I think generally we both agree that it shouldn't happen with Fields should play.
No, if it's a bad system, yeah, throw him out there right away.
I think Lance might be close because, like, Garoppolo has been there enough years. It's a little bit different than the ones we've talked about because Garoppolo hasn't exactly had that success. Like, is he the guy that you want to, like, be learning from, really?
Yeah. I don't know what I would do with Lance.
Well, that's he is such a raw prospect, and it's like, it's kind of, as I've been outlining, Garoppolo has been learning from Shanahan. He's been in that system for a few years, and you can be quite confident that Shanahan will be there for most of Lance's career. So, like, It maybe lines up with the same system, but, you know, Garoppolo is not learning by Garoppolo is not looking behind Alex Smith, and it's certainly not learning behind like Brett Favre.
Right.
So where do we leave off? Monday night. What a game. Raiders Ravens just gets down to overtime. It looks like this team's gonna win. Just, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure that probability chart that, you know, you see after every game was absolutely crazy. We were playing this the jock market, and just who's gonna win the coin flip? Like, all these guys are so close in fantasy points. Oh, Carr, the Raiders got it. Carr's gonna get up to second this week. Oh, and then the Ravens get it back. Oh, but the Raiders get it right back, and then they go for the touchdown at the end rather than just the field goal. And just a classic for your first Monday night game.
Yeah.
And helps we both had Raiders plus 175.
Yeah, and I had them part of a Cardinals-Texans-Raiders parlay. Cashed over that after the Sunday games, and then I just straight bet the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. And just have to mention the how could it possibly lose parlay teaser. I lost. The impossible happened. The Giants plus 10. That maybe felt like the most automatic one. Like how were the Broncos going to score the points to beat the Giants by more than 10? But they sure did. And I won't make that mistake of putting my money on the Giants side again. And I guess speaking of that, I'll have the opportunity to not do that tomorrow, Thursday night. We got Giants at the football team. And what we did is we both went and independently looked at the lines and decided what we liked. And we both deduced that we would like to bet the football team, move the line, who are their 3.5-point favorites at home, to 6.5 and take the plus 140.
Yeah. I was kind of, you know, looking at his notes for the podcast, and I'm like, are you kidding? We took the exact same line.
It's either a great sign or a terrible one, and I don't know which one it is, but...
So I've got some very strong opinions about this game.
Yes. This feels... I mean, there's a reason we both moved the line here.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your other bets? Or?
I also have the over 40.5. The Chargers also have a very good defense, which is important to remember in the game previously, the football team hosting the Chargers. That was a low-scoring affair, but even that almost went over 40.5. And from what we saw last week, the Giants' defense is not as good as the Chargers' defense. And Ron Rivera still is a good football coach, and he can game plan to have Taylor Heineke in there instead of Fitzpatrick. It's always a little weird when you get thrown in there. Not that the game plan for Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm sure, is impossible to replicate. It's not like you're stepping into a game plan for Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But it's just an advantage when you can, you know you're starting all week and get those first team reps. And we saw him in the XFL. We were big XFL yeah, guys that as it happened. And so he's our guy, and he's good. I mean, when we've seen him, he's been a very serviceable NFL quarterback. And Fitzpatrick injury looks like it's going to be long enough that we're going to find out.
Yeah, so you got to give me a second because I'm actually going even more extreme with my lines.
Yeah, I do. While Cody looks, I do. I'm betting that over 40.5. That just feels like it's so low. Like the football team gets scored 21, 28, 24 pretty easily here. Like it might be close. I'm hoping it's not. But if I'm going to move that line to be 6.5, you know, I'm just naturally thinking that it's going to be higher scoring, and 40.5 is just so low. I think Heinicke will have enough weapons, and you know, maybe the Giants sneak in a score or two. They even still were able to, as bad as they looked, they're still able to put up 13 against what is a very good Broncos defense. So if the Giants can put up 13 against Washington, I feel really good about hitting over 40.5 here.
Yeah, so like I say, got the -6.5 at +40. I'm going to tell you something about Taylor Heinicke. That man is a fighter, and he knows there is a very good chance if he does not perform this week that Cam Newton gets brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we saw it in that playoff game last year against the Bucs. He was just laying his body on the line. I mean, the man was out there getting hit. He just didn't care, shook it off, mm-hmm. and just kept balling. So I'm loving Taylor Heinicke props. I am betting these two, knowing that one of them probably will not hit. I don't know which one won't hit, but one of them won't.
Okay.
So I got Taylor Heinicke over 303 passing yards at +218. And I also have Taylor Heinicke at over 51 rush yards +239. I'm thinking it's one or the other.
So that's what I just went to look at. I'm definitely betting him over 20.5 rush yards, which is what the line's actually at.
Yeah.
That feels automatic to me.
It does.
Especially like you mentioned, the guy fighting for his job like that. He's a mobile quarterback. 20.5 yards.
He can do it.
But especially if against a good at least a good front four from the Giants, who will be able to get, you know, a little pressure. And if they force him out of the pocket, like, all this can be, this line could be hit on one play if he has to improvise.
All right. I love the guy. I think he is going to prevent Cam Newton being brought in to Washington. I truly think he will. Just every time he plays, like, we just love watching it, because that man would not care if he broke both of his legs
getting hit,
or, you know, like, which isn't always a good thing to have when it's your quarterback of the future. But right now, he's not the quarterback of the future.
For those of you not as familiar with XFL Taylor Heinicke, the only way I can really describe it is his play style, just the way he's going to be out there. Think last year when Minshew got his opportunity, just kind of the swagger, the like, I'm fighting not for like this starting quarterback job, for like a contract in the NFL. Like, he's not like, he's in the XFL. We're fully aware of how that did. Like, he's not on a big lucrative quarterback deal. Like, this is serious business week two for Taylor Heinicke.
Right. And I do think there is a reason he is the one XFL quarterback to get a shot. I think, you know, if any of you weren't XFL fans, you still probably heard the name PJ Walker, because he was running all over everyone. And that was just simply because I don't think he necessarily had the tools to be a great quarterback. He was just more athletic.
It's true.
And, you know, there was college players playing in the XFL trying to raise draft stock from like 7th to 6th round.
The defense was bad. It just,
I think that's why PJ Walker succeeded so much in the XFL. Whereas Taylor Heinicke, he actually had tools that correlate to the NFL. And I don't know. I think we will see Taylor Heinicke starting 16 games this season. I think he wins that job in Washington. I think he doesn't get paid the bag. I think he makes $10 million a year, $15 million a year on like a 2-year deal. And which for quarterbacks seems like nothing nowadays. But
I just love to see him perform and just see Washington like commit to them.
Yeah.
Like, they're,
and I think they need to. I think a big thing of it is going to be is like how like how much he thinks they are confident in him.
Like I said with the Steelers, like they have a good, very young defense. Like as they mature, like if you can have a cheap quarterback, which gives you the ability to keep everyone around, and you get another year of Terry McLaurin just maturing, and just you have young weapons on that team as well. It's a young team. Like this is the young quarterback. Maybe you don't need to, you know, their defense is just too good. You're not going to have a top 10 pick to go and get that premier prospect. If he can maybe even save them from themselves, or if he performs well enough where they can talk themselves into him at least earning one more year rather than them using, say, like the 20th pick on like a quarterback.
Right.
Because that, like, those mid, we've seen it with, like, the Patriots and every good team, really. Those mid level picks, like, as good as that Washington defense is, and how much better it is if every year it's like, let's just add another corner in the first round. Or, oh, let's give that offense another young receiver at number 20. Like, if you're continuously using that first round pick to find a quarterback, yeah, if you find that guy, it's worth it no matter how many years you do it in a row. But if you're, you know, good enough to be in those late rounds, you want to win now. You don't want to be in that mold.
You know, now, the more that I'm thinking about it, the football team, their organization isn't a dumb organization. I think if Heinicke starts all 16 games, well, okay, they've had some issues with their organization.
I mean, the Rivera hire was very good, and that I think has been a real reason that they've looked good this last year. But it starts at the top,
right? And, but I mean, I feel like Rivera is smart enough to give an input.
Yeah, I'll just always believe in that ownership.
I think if Heinicke starts 16 games and that Washington team's 500, I think they sign Heinicke to like a 5-year, $50 million.
I don't know if they give him five, but
I think that, no, I'm saying I think that'd be a very smart move.
Well, that'd be very smart. Even then, like, obviously that's massive money, but I don't see him taking something like that.
You don't think so?
Like, because if you're 5 years, 50, like, if he's at a point where he'd get offered that, I mean, he could get, like, 1 or 2 years, 10, a lot of places. So like if you're like going to be committed to like for to be that starting quarterback, like what if he just like really balls out? Like he can't, yeah, you're kind of locking yourself out of that reel.
Where he could walk in and know he'd be the starting quarterback.
If he leads Washington to a division win, like they win that division. I mean, forget about it if he wins him a playoff game. Like then he could pretty much, you know, right, he'll have four or five offers out there, but it's hard to break that. It's hard to know right now. Like there's teams that are right now seem like they are secure, but
I just want my XFL.
Oh yeah, we both love them. Obviously.
I was really hoping PJ Walker would get that Panthers job when mm-hmm. Teddy Two Gloves right. left.
You're obviously, you're going high end on. I'm trying to make the real money, but like we're talking like odds they're giving you, and where you can get them on like most sports books, 20 and a half rush yards.
All right,
that's
a lock.
That's an L.
I'm not gonna say.
I don't throw the L word on that, but
actually, no.
Fade it now.
No, I'm throwing it. Over 20 and a half is a lock.
I like that bet too. Why'd you do this to me? Under 20 and a half.
I'm kind of contradicting my over 51 because I'm double dipping for no reason. But Taylor Heinicke is my. Over 20 and a half rush yards is my week 2 lock.
I still have to bet. It's too good of a line.
And I'm still going to keep my over 51 because I don't care. I believe in the kid.
Yeah.
I'm double dipping, which is the stupidest thing you can do.
Right.
But doesn't even matter. I'm doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm betting it, so I'll be rooting for it, but also like,
but also not
at the same time. But the checkbook will be over here, like, hopefully Cody Betts win, and then my back, who's gonna be like, don't put a Baker Mayfield jersey on me. it's gonna be a confusing Thursday for me. Hopefully, it is not a confusing Thursday for all of you. Enjoy the football. It's a little concerning how quickly we're getting into New York Giants primetime games, but I'm still at the point where any football is, I will enjoy, and I'm sure you guys are all the same way. So yeah, enjoy your Thursdays. I know we will, and we'll see you Sunday for our full breakdown of the rest of the slate.